Our gospel reading today is Luke chapter 2. More recently, we were in the early part of chapter 2, and now we move on to the end of the chapter. Hear these words. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up, as usual, for the festival. And when the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. And then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this?" He sounds like a mother, doesn't she? "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of the Lord. I once saw a cartoon in New Yorker magazine, and it showed a person opening gifts. And the person said, "Oh, look, a beautiful vase. Thank you so much. I can't tell you what this means to me." And there was, over the head of the cartoon character, a bubble that identified what she was really thinking. And the bubble read, "This is hideous. It is pathetic. Surely you could have done better than this after everything I've done for you." And then she said, "Thank you, darling. It is beautiful, and I really love it." The next frame was something even more profound for me. The character was again tearing into another gift and said, "Oh, look, the very thing I wanted for Christmas. I have been wanting one of these since I saw it in a magazine years ago." And the bubble over the head of the character read, "This is nice. This is really nice, but I'm disappointed. I'm not satisfied with this gift. What do I do?" And the character looked from the page of New Yorker magazine at the reader as if the character was asking the question, "What do I do now?" Now, I'm fascinated by the memory of that cartoon because it reminds me that there are gifts and there are gifts. And at some age, we should learn that the greatest Christmas gifts of all cannot be contained in boxes. There is a honky-tonk version of this season that moves some to cynicism and others to depression, and we know that. We start hearing it on our car radios in November, and we see it before Thanksgiving in shopping malls and in the media. There can be something about Christmas that seems more carnival than Christ-like. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of the genuine treasure that we have. Any of us here could make our own list of Christmas treasure, and I dare say it's not a bad idea to think about this some. I believe it can put things in perspective for us. For me, exchanging gifts with my family on Christmas Day, experiencing a 13-week study of the Psalms with a number of you, standing in this sanctuary on Christmas Eve with lighted candle with my family nearby and a circle of the congregation. I've never experienced that before. And we sang together, "All is calm, all is bright." These are just some of my Christmas treasures that I'm seeking to make sense of this morning. But there's also God's claim on our lives. Every Sunday morning, Alec and someone comes to this font and pours water in it, reminding us that we've been claimed in baptism. We've been claimed by the Spirit of God. That is God's gift. God has a destiny for you. No matter what age you are, God has plans for your life, for your faith, for your gifts, for your energy and purpose. That is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. I had the privilege of doing leading a Wednesday 5:30 service, and we read from Isaiah 40, and it struck me the power of God's forgiveness as announced in Isaiah 40, that we are to be a people who comfort one another, and we're to go about comforting one another, that our term has ended. Time in exile is over. And now we are to prepare a way for the coming glory of God. Forgiveness is a gift, and it is not to be taken for granted. And certainly, just as we were speaking with the children, the child in Bethlehem is a gift, the greatest gift of all. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in, we sing. We experience Christmas treasure many ways. And often we do not know what to do with our gifts. Sometimes we do not understand. We've been given so much. I believe there can be the temptation to be satiated. So full of chocolate pie, we just don't want anything else to eat. We may be so full of stuff, so full of something, that we cannot appreciate the treasure that we have. We're satiated. Or we may struggle with uncertainty. Uncertainty about a lot of things. Uncertainty about life. Uncertainty about faith. Uncertainty about where God is. Uncertainty about what we are to do now. And you and I need help to make sense of God's gifts when we have issues that keep us preoccupied. So like the character in the cartoon, what do I do now? What do I do? Well, this morning I struggle with understanding and discerning, perhaps like some of you. Faith has been God's gift for me, but so has a lot of living that I have serious questions about. And I'm not here to stand on a pedestal. Rather, I'm looking for answers on the floor with the children. That's where I am today. What do I do? On the first Sunday after Christmas, sanctuaries in most Christian churches resemble the temple that Jesus and his parents would have known. The annual festival has ended, and the visitors have packed their donkeys and headed home, trailing ribbon and wrapping paper behind them. And in their wake, the peace of the temple is palpable, just as this one is. And there are plenty of seats for those whose devotion is year-round, and plenty of time to talk together about things that matter. And here we are, talking about things that matter. And we have been given much. And our gospel reading brings several insights to mind. First of all, Mary and Joseph are in a dilemma. The trip to Jerusalem is something they do every year, and they are so comfortable with this tradition and the people with whom they travel that when the festival is over, they head out of town. They don't know where their boy is. They just leave. After a day, they realize Jesus is not to be found. What to do? We have to go back to the city. Mary and Joseph turn around, leave the caravan that goes on its way. For 3 days, imagine 3 days looking for your child in Jerusalem. And when they find him, he is articulate and sharp, maybe a little too much for me as a father. He's just a little too quick, just a little too fast to say what's going on with him. Obviously, Mary is listening not only to her son, but she listens to what is going on around him. Perhaps she is remembering not only what he says, but she remembers the shepherds and their story about angels and their message and their coming. She treasured those words and she pondered them, and once again, she treasures what she's hearing her son say. She pays attention and she says them for another time when she can make sense of their meaning. Anne Lamott, the novelist, has her own take on what to do with things that happen to us. She's come out with a new book on the three essential prayers in life. Have you seen this? Help, thanks, wow. The three essential prayers for life. And she explains how these words identify critical prayers for us all. And in speaking about wow, she says this: gorgeous, amazing things come into our lives when we're paying attention. Mangoes, grandnieces, Bach, ponds. And this happens more often when we have as little expectation as possible. If you say, well, that's pretty much what I thought I'd see, you're in trouble. At that point, you have to ask yourself, why are you even here? And if I were you, I would pray help. Astonishing material and revelation happens in our lives all the time. Let it be. Unto us, much is given, and we just have to be open for business. Anne Lamott suggests that we human beings need to be open for business. She means paying attention to what God has for us. Now, I would conjecture that Mary did not see this episode in Jerusalem coming. But her pondering led her to some convictions about her son. She was open. And God sometimes gives you and me insights about life, gives us sunsets, gives us friends, gives us answered prayers. And when we get a gift that takes our breath away, it is important that you and I learn to say, wow. Not to somebody else, not to ourselves, maybe to God as a word of praise. Wow. Mary eventually, in her own way, thinking of all she stored in her heart, must have had her own version of wow. But first of all, Mary herself and Anne Lamott are teaching us, prepare to say wow. Now, secondly, there's something else going on here. Jesus searches for his own identity. Now, what is it that defines our identity as human beings? What is it? Family ties, a sense of vocation, a personal creed perhaps, or one's dreams. Jesus found his identity by affirming his relationship to God. And one scholar notes that Jesus was doing what he was doing by seeking to understand God's purpose for him. His life was not driven by fate, the force that many ancients believe controlled one's destiny. Neither was he driven by political coercion or religious legalism. Instead, he was bound to God's design for it. Jesus had been to Jerusalem enough times to know that there were some wise people there. There were elders there. He knew of their wisdom. And so he puts himself in a place where he can sit among them and listen to them and learn and ask questions. It is in this place where others see something in him that his parents do not. Something amazing happens. Now, I have several questions to ask. What happens to a person when she decides to stop accepting what her parents tell her and to start studying with other teachers instead? Or what are you and I searching for right now? And where or how do we expect to find what we're searching for? You see, asking is just as valid for us as it is for Jesus. How can I find a community I need in this church as a single person? How are we going to go from this day forward? How are we going to live out our faith now that the children are teenagers or now that the children are gone? What am I going to do with retirement now? Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, talks about a Quaker circle of people to whom we take a personal life issue. And they're prohibited from suggesting fixes or giving their own answers. But he writes, we must come together in ways that respect the solitude of the soul, that avoids the unconscious violence we do when we try to save each other, that evoke our capacity to hold one another without dishonoring life's mystery, never trying to coerce the other into meeting our own needs. Now think of the connections you have with people in this church, with people who are your close friends, people who are your family, There are some that are very near and dear to you. Sometimes we speak about life issues with them that are near to our hearts. Can we discover somehow our new identity in this community with these people? With whom and where can we ask our own life questions? And how can this happen? How can I do this? How can I pray for God's direction now? To make sense of Christmas treasure, we take time to ask the questions Jesus asked. Pause to ask how. Pause in your life to ask how. Finally, another character prominent in our lessons today is the Apostle Paul. I always find a certain energy from his words, particularly in his epistles, when he is talking about practicing the faith. Did you hear his exhortations? Did you catch those? Bear with one another. Forgive one another. He's talking to you and me. He's talking to the church. Love one another. Be thankful with one another. Listen with one another. Teach and encourage one another. Sing with one another. There's an urgency about his message. Read it again. Greg did it well. But as we read back through Colossians 3, 12 to 17, there is an urgency in these exhortations piling one on top of another. And the apostle is holding up for you and me eight behaviors that are essential to the life of the church. There are people in our world who are hungry for compassion and forgiveness and the hope and good news the church offers. And it's almost as if Paul is saying to us, so you've been given gifts. Now don't just stand there with them in your hand. Put on those gifts like you do a new coat from a fashion shop or a men's store. Stick your arms into compassion and kindness and meekness and patience, and pull the coat of forgiveness and love over, and pull it securely and wear it well. Now, Paul's challenge offers you and me still another way to make sense of our gifts. The world desperately needs what the church has, God's compassion and God's love. And sometimes you and I go out of this place slow to apply what we've been given here. Now, another way to make sense of things is to use this gospel and use this compassion and use this truth immediately. In other words, plan to start now. Now, you and I have been given Christmas treasure. In light of where we are, how can we make sense of it? I'm convinced there are things happening in our lives that can take our breath away if we're open for business. If we are paying attention like Mary did, she teaches us, prepare to say, wow. I'm convinced that there is also God's claim on all our lives. At every age, God has something for us to do, and it is important we put ourselves with wise people whom we can ask questions just like Jesus did. Pause to ask how. I'm convinced that we've been given gifts we can use immediately if we will just put them on like new clothes. What are we waiting for? Plan to start now. Now go ahead and make sense of your Christmas treasures this year. Prepare to say wow. Pause to ask how. Plan to start now. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, you encounter us in this sacred space as we gather around word and sacrament on a regular basis. We give you thanks for the sound of grace and glory, for the sound of promise, for the sound of your patience with us and your prodding us on to love you and love our neighbors ourselves. Lord, we've been given much. Help us to make sense of your Christmas gift to us, Jesus Christ, a babe in Bethlehem. Enable us to make sense of all the gifts you give us, that your kingdom may come and your will be done through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.